You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
Awesome. It's so good to be able to worship with those songs, to pray, to get our hearts ready and right. I want you to turn to a really strange book for us to talk about at Christmas time as we're talking about a heavenly Christmas. I want you to turn to the book of Revelation is where we're going to turn. Ooh, what's about to happen? Revelation chapter 21 is where we're going to be and talk about a heavenly Christmas. We're going to talk a little bit about heaven is what we're going to talk about. Now, we've been on a journey and my goal has been to get your eyes up. And yeah, we got them down. We got the mall. We got parking spots. We got presents. We got trees. We got gifts. All of that. The manger, wonderful. But we want to get our eyes up. And so week one, we talked about that Jesus wasn't just born on Christmas. He's from eternity past to eternity future. He is eternal, the Son of God, not just a baby, the Son of God born on Christmas, come to earth, but from eternity past to eternity future. Then last week we talked about the angelic announcements, that this was such an announcement that we were declaring something was changing. This was a brand new thing. God come to earth in the form of man. And so the angels for heaven, they gave the announcement. And so we're looking at a heavenly Christmas, trying to get our eyes up. I hope you have a crick in your neck by the end of Christmas time, because you've been looking up so much, just saying, I want to know about the heavenly Christmas. So we're going to talk about heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to talk about heaven. Heaven's an exciting thing, so much that it's used in marketing. People use it in marketing. So here's a few products that are using heavenly, as we talk about a heavenly Christmas, to market their product. And they sure make it sound good. It's making me want these things. The first one is this: heavenly caramel coffee. Doesn't that sound good? Sounds great. The second one here is Heavenly Hounds dog stress and anxiety relief treats. I don't know about that one. Number three, for all the single ladies, you've been waiting on your heavenly hunk. Well, here you go. This will make it a lot easier. You can just go to the grocery store and just say, you know what? It's hard to find a godly Christian man, a heavenly hunk. So I'm going to just get me a heavenly hunk here. I'm going to just eat this on Friday night. Make me feel a whole lot better. Chocolate changes everything, right? So you got your heavenly hunks. You can get that. That is awesome. And then the last one that we have here is Heavenly Baby Cologne by Johnson & Johnson. Now, I've always thought babies didn't need cologne. I didn't know anything about cologne. I guess I wasn't doing a good job as a dad. I don't know. But heavenly cologne. So we've got these products that basically are getting people excited about heaven. You see heavenly, you go, I want that product. I want to go there. I want to know about that. Well, guess what? I'm going to tell you how you can go to heaven for sure. But we're going to connect the dots between the manger in heaven. When I read you these verses of scripture, they're going to sound real Christmassy. God with us, God doing things in us, God making a difference in us. So we're going to look in the book of Revelation is where we're going to be. And if you want more about Revelation, we did an entire year on Revelation. Okay. So you can listen to all of that. It's online. It's on our website, all different messages. We did a whole year in Revelation. So, but here we are in Revelation 21. Let's look in Revelation 21, verse 1. Here we go. Then I saw a new heaven. The Greek word for new there is kainos. You know what that word means? Because that was our big campaign for a couple of years. Then I saw a kainos heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Remember that, the sea was no more. And also I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride or adorned for her husband. So let's take it just a couple verses at a time. First of all is this, write this down in your listening guide. Heaven and the manger are a place of peace, not pandemonium. Heaven and the manger are a place of peace and not pandemonium. Now, where do I get that? There would it said that the sea has passed away. The sea is no more. In those days, the biblical days, the sea was symbolic. Lots of Revelation is symbolic. The sea was symbolic of chaos. Now, you and I, when we think about the sea, we're like, oh, I love the sea. I go and I get this big lounge chair and it's awesome. And we sit by the beach and the kids play, get a suntan. It's wonderful. Or we get on a cruise ship and we go out to the Caribbean and we have a great time with that. For these folks, when they thought about the sea meant work. That's how you went and got all your fish. It meant death, really. because people were killed in big storms that would happen. Think about Jesus when he steps up and he's in the boat and they're worried about their lives and he says, peace be still. And they go, whoa, he calmed the sea. He calmed chaos. Even if you were to look into Revelation chapter 20, just one chapter before, in verse 13, you would see that it calls for the dead, the sea, to give up their dead. And so there's a place of chaos with the sea. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, a beast comes out of the sea. Okay, this is the enemy. This is Satan coming out of the sea. This is a problem. This is chaos. So the sea, when it says in verse 1, the sea was no more. That doesn't mean if you like the beach, you're not going to like heaven. Okay, that's not what that means. It means heaven is a place of peace, not pandemonium. And the manger is a place of peace, not pandemonium as well. A star, the wise men bowing down, that Christmas night, Mary holding Jesus in her arms, the animals calmly around, all of those things, place of peace. We sing when we sing Christmas songs, we sing about peace, don't we? Even in Luke chapter 2 that we talked about last week, that and peace will be with all men whom God favors. And so there's a peace in the manger and there's a peace in heaven and there's all this calamity and pandemonium in between, isn't there? So we've got to find peace in our heart in the midst of the pandemonium. But what brings peace is Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. And when in Revelation you remove Satan from the equation, you've got peace, and that's awesome, right? So when you remove in our world sin from the equation, you get greater peace. So let's just do a little exercise today. Let me throw out a couple things. The Ten Commandments, you've heard them before, actually 10 things. I'll throw them out to you, and we're going to ask the question of this. If we were to follow the Ten Commandments, would it bring more peace in our world or chaos in our world? Okay, let's just kind of go through them. The Ten Commandments here. You will have no gods before me. If everybody worshiped the Lord and said there's an authority in heaven and God is the authority, Jesus is his son, chaos would decrease. You shall make no carved images or idols for yourself. If we didn't lift up something else to be God in our lives, and you can lift up monetary stuff, you can lift up material stuff, you can lift up the government can be a false god and you think that's going to save you. You can lift up a lot of stuff. But if we just kept our eyes on God, not on these little g gods, but on the big g god, the world would have less chaos. You should not take the Lord's name in vain. What if we honored the name of God? There'd be less chaos. What if we just didn't have cussing in the world? Are you amazed like I am that words that I mean, cuss words are like worst of words. It's like just everyday talk now. What are we doing? It's crazy. What if there just wasn't cussing? It'd make things a little bit better, wouldn't solve the world's problems, but it'd make things a bit better. Remember the Sabbath day, number 4, and keep it holy. If we rested, would it decrease the anxiety and the stress we have in today's world? It would decrease the chaos. Honor your father and mother. If we respected authority in today's world, I mean, you don't have to be religious. If you just respected authority in God's world, in this world, would that decrease chaos if we respected authority? You shall not murder. I hope that one's obvious. Would that help? Yes. You shall not commit adultery. Yes, that's true. You shall not steal. What if no one stole? What would happen? What if we didn't need the police? We didn't need lawyers. If everybody just honored God. Now, we do need police. We do need lawyers. I get all that. But to be able to have number 9, that what if we didn't lie? Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. What if there was no lies? What if there's no jails because there's no stealing and no murder and there's no lies? What if that would happen? You don't even have to be religious. You can be an atheist. Would this help to have no lies in planet Earth? I think it would help. And then 10, you shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Don't envy. Don't have jealousy. That would help a lot. James tells us, we're going to study the book of James next semester. James tells us that our sin comes from our envy, from our coveting other things. So we want them. So we go and get them in those ways. Just following the 10 commandments. I've said this before. If we honored God in just sex, it would change the world. You'd have no rape. You'd have no human trafficking. You'd have no molestation. You'd have, abortions would dramatically decrease because all pregnancies would be happening within wedlock. And so it would change just that one thing, change everything. So when the sea is gone, when the temptation is gone, when the enemy is gone, when sin is gone, its pandemonium is gone and peace is there. Now, I listened to an interesting podcast. I want you to think about this with me a little bit. I think it's an interesting train of thought. If you'll just go with me another step deeper of removing sin, removing Satan from the world, removing all of those things. It's a podcast by Albert Mohler. He's the president of Southern Seminary and does this thing called The Briefing. He does it every single day. He takes world events, current events, and then he puts them in a Christian worldview. That's what happens every day. I mean, I don't know how he does it every single day, but he does it every single day. And he was talking about this. That is, are we as Christians, are we just against the effects of sin? Or do we realize that we are also against the essence of sin? Okay, now think about this for a second. Drunkenness. We're against the effects of drunkenness because we know you can get behind the wheel and you can really, really hurt somebody. That's really bad. And everybody's against that. But see, as believers in Christ, we're against drunkenness in the essence of it as well, because instead of God being in control of your life, alcohol is in control of your life. You see it? So we're against that and we're against the effects. Right? Got it? So if you were to think about it with greed and you were to say, well, everybody's against greed. Who says greed's good? Greed's good. Well, what we say is it's not just that greed's making you spend money on stuff and there's people starving in the world. That's part of it, yes. But it's greed over here. It steals our heart and it messes with our soul and it makes us not have a God in heaven. It makes us have a God on the earth and a God of money, you see? When people are confused about their gender, it's not just about bathrooms that they want to go to. It's about that God has created you. And he's got an essence in you and a fingerprint in you, and that God can help you to discover that and understand what that is. So there's some effects, yes, but there's an essence as well. Do you see it? With sexual sin, it's not just, well, what if they're willing? Well, that doesn't matter. That's the effects. It's still bad for our world. We can see that. But sexual sin, God's created you for a holiness. He's created you for that. He's created your eyes to see the holiness of God. He's created your heart to go for those things. That's what is important. It's not that just bullying is bad and that kids are in a place that they're being treated wrongly. Yes, we're against that. There's no doubt about it. It's the fact that that kid, cool or not, this, that, or the other or not, that's a person that's created in the image of God. And their soul is just as important as the coolest kid in school. Do you see it? So there's an essence of sin. Yes, remove that. There's effects of sin. Remove that. And in our society, we are trying to decide, well, what's your thought about the effect? Well, I like the effect. Well, I don't mind the effect. No, the effect is one thing. The essence is another thing. Give you a biblical example. Last one. Genesis 39. You remember that story? Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Joseph is in charge of all of Potiphar's household. And Potiphar's wife says, hey, I think you're handsome. I want you to come and be with me. So she's trying to entice him. And he says, no, I will not do that. Why? Not because she is unwilling. She is very willing. He says, how can I sin against my God? Do you see? That's an essence statement, not an effect statement. Well, he could have gotten away with it. Well, that's not the deal. And so in our society, we ask this question. Do you care? Are you upset because you didn't get away with the sin? Or are you upset because it hurt God's heart? You see it? It's different. And when we realize that sin hurts God's heart, we now watch, here I'm tying it into the point of peace. When we realize that, now we begin to be people that want that baby in the manger and that heaven in the coming days. We want that to be so in our heart, Jesus to live in us, that we are now a conduit, a pipeline, a tool in God's hand to minister peace to the world. You see it? So I want to stay away from sin. I want to stay away from the sea, if you will, and the chaos. And I want to follow what God says in the Ten Commandments. And I want the essence of sin to be crucified in my life through a relationship with Jesus so that then I can make a difference in the world and show the peace of the world. Do you see it? So the manger, the peace of the manger, can now live inside of me as a believer so that I can tell other people how they can get to heaven. See it? And now all these things connect. So we hate the effects, no doubt. It rips us apart, destroys our hearts and lives. But we hate the essence of sin as well. So we want to be walking in a heavenly Christmas in a peace that passes all understanding that God is inside of us and doing that. And that comes through us walking out our faith and trusting God deeper and taking new steps in our faith and walking and growing in our faith. We don't just stay where we are. We grow and we say, God, we want you to do more in our lives. Now, we're going to do something at the beginning of the year that we've done numerous times. I think about 8 years now we've done this. And we're going to have a time in January and fasting. And I'm just going to plant a seed for you today. We'll give you a lot more information about it. But this is about, we're going to grow in our relationship with God so we can be a better conduit of the peace of Christ coming through us. Okay? Here's what we're going to do. I'll put it up on the screens for us. We're going to do this all together. It's going to be January 6th through 10th. So, if you want to start skipping church around the 5th on the Sunday and then show back up on the 12th, and that you can skip all this. But here's what we're going to do. On Monday of that week, we're going to fast from all beverages except water. We're just going to drink water. That's all we're going to do. So Diet Coke people, I'm so sorry. Get ready for it now, okay? You have to go without. Coffee people that have been trying to convince me for years, it's just water over beans. That's all it is. It counts as water. No, we're going with water, okay? We're going with water. Tuesday, we're going to fast from TV. Wednesday, we're going to fast from social media and the internet. Now, if you got a job that requires you to be on the internet, we get it. We understand. We want you to keep your job. But you get the point behind this, the heart behind this. Thursday, we're going to fast from food. We're going to go without food that day. And then Friday, we're going to pay it forward. We're going to do an act of selflessness in some way. Maybe that's you give somebody something, you buy somebody something, whatever it is. Or if you don't want to do that, you don't have the money to do that. Students, man, just do something kind around the house. Help somebody at school. Clean up your room. Take out the trash. I don't know. Whatever you want to do, but you got in your mind that you're going to do something. And all those things are so that we can be an agent of peace. Because here we see heaven is a place of peace. Heaven motivates us to be a person of peace in this world, right? Now, let me say one other thing about this. Baby in the manger, born in Bethlehem, Jesus of all of eternity come in the flesh to planet Earth, announced by angels, heaven, no more sea, a new heaven, a new earth. That relationship is connected. The baby and the cross and Easter and heaven, that's all the same guy. That's the same God. And when we trust him, now we can be a place of peace in our lives for other people. Now, let me give you a statistic. 82% of people will respond with yes when invited to church during Christmas season. 82% of people will respond yes when they're invited to church at Christmas season to learn about the peace of God that we all need. I've established we need it with all that we've had here in planet Earth. Only 2% of Christians invite anybody. I want you to feel that. I feel it too. 82% would say yes, and only 2% of us are inviting people to come to hear about the peace of Christ and to be a part of God's work in that way. We've got to be the conduits, the agents of peace. And that peace is a peace that passes all understanding. God is a God on planet Earth as much as he would be God if you went to space. He would be there in space as well. God is a God in Texas as much as he is a God in Tibet. He's a God for old people. He's a God for young people. He is the savior of all people. And that's what Christmas is about. And if we're going to get a heavenly Christmas, we got to get our eyes off of planet Earth and on to heaven, that heaven is real. And Jesus is the way that we get there. Now, I want to give you this last thing here on this point. I know you're getting really afraid because I got 3 points and we've like driven into point one for a long, long time. I know. I got 2 more coming, but don't worry. They're going to be slower or faster than that to be able to do that. Not slower than that, faster than that. But I've been thinking about this piece. I found this website. I found it on YouTube, actually, and it's an interesting thing. It's from the International Space Station, and it's a live look from the space station at Earth. So you're looking from the space station. Now, the space station, let me tell you about the space station. It's 250 miles above the Earth right now. It weighs about 1,000,000 pounds. It's as big as a football field, basically. And they have 16 sunrises and sunsets in one day on the space station. They go around the world 16 times, sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset. Now, they do that because they're going 17,500 miles an hour, okay? So this thing is flying just a little bit more than what I-10 traffic is, you know, when you're going really moving along. So 17,500 miles, it goes round and round. So I wanted to show you the live look at this happening, but I couldn't do it for this reason. I didn't know at what point in the message it was going to be live. It could be like nighttime over Denmark and we look at a black screen, okay, is what could happen. So I just put this thing on. I just put it on my house the other day and I just let it roll like all day long. And it was so cool to go, wow, it's over this, it's over that, it's over this. It's nighttime, it's daytime, it's this. God is the God over the whole world. So what I'm trying to get across to you is this. A heavenly Christmas is a God of peace for Texas and Tibet. For Earth, for heaven. In the space station, if you're there, he'd be there. And God wants to have a relationship with us. So I want us to do this. It's got some kind of pretty music to it. It's about 30 seconds long. I just want us to just sit and chill for a second and see this chaos pandemonium of the earth, how peaceful it is from the sky. Let's watch this together. Isn't that incredible? If you were to go to the space station, you could read your Bible, you could pray, he'd be right there with you. You could be in Tibet, where it's really difficult to be a believer in Christ, he'd be right there with you. You'd be in Texas, he's right here with us. Because of the peace that he brings in the manger and in heaven as well. But there's another thing that happens. Two more that I want to show you. And this next one, I'll tell you just straight away, it's the presence of God. Heaven and the manger are a place of God's presence. Heaven and the manger are a place of God's presence. When you go to the manger, when you think about the manger, you think about wise men bowed down. You think about shepherds bowed down. The presence of God, so much presence of God. There's a star in heaven that's right over that manger. So much presence of God. Angels had to announce it. So much presence of God. The animals are calmed. The presence of God in the manger right there. You want to talk about heavenly cologne? There we got some heavenly cologne right there. The presence of God. But it's also the place of the presence of God in heaven as well. Look, if you will, in chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 3. Look at chapter 21, verse 3. And listen, this could be a Christmas verse. And it is, in a way. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity. The manger and in heaven. And he will live with them. Bethlehem and heaven. And they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and will be their God. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus with us, come to planet Earth to walk our sod. Watch, he walked our sod to bring us to a relationship with God. And so here we have the presence of God with us, the presence of God. How incredible is the presence of God? The ultimate blessing of heaven is not a perfect environment. It's perfect fellowship with God. The ultimate blessing of heaven is not the people we'll see, the loved ones we'll be with. It's the person. It's Jesus. It's God. It's his presence. Just as Adam and Eve enjoyed God's presence in the beginning, those who have trusted Christ as Savior will enjoy God's presence for all of eternity. Let me show you something from our mantle. This is from our mantle on our house. I brought it, got it just from today from our mantle. And here's what it says. We put it up every year. The magic of Christmas is not the presence, but his presence. You get it? It's not his present. Presence under the tree. It's his presence. So this is on our mantle. Just remind us. Just say, this is what it's all about. It's about the presence of God. And God's presence is with you on the space station. God's presence is with you, students at school. God's presence is with you when you're taking tests and finals. God's presence is with you at the workplace. God's presence is with you in this moment at church. God's presence is with you when you're contemplating that bad sin. God's presence is there, and he wants to be our God and to know. See, it ties in perfect with the manger scene, the presence of God come to earth, 400 years of silence, broken by the cry of the baby, the angels announcing it, and then of heaven, that God would be with us and we would be with him for all of eternity. It's an amazing, amazing thought. The third point is this. My final point is heaven and the manger are a place of God's perfection. Heaven and the manger are a place of God's perfection. So heaven and the manger are a place of God's peace. We spent a lot of time on that. Heaven and the manger are a place of God's presence, that he's with us at the manger. He's with us in heaven. And God's presence then is another place, or another, the heaven and the manger is a place of God's perfection. Look at verse 4 and 5. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, pain will be no more. Oh my goodness. Because the previous things have passed away. And the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. Kainos, everything. And he also said, write these down, these words, because they are faithful and true. So here we have now the perfection. Can you imagine a place with no crying, no grief, no death? Can I just tell us, just in the middle of this Christmas joy and all the things we have and all the smiles and all the bells and all the songs and all the yes, this is the best time of the year, the most wonderful time of the year. Can I just tell you, for many people, it's the hardest time of the year. It's a heartbreaking time of year. It's a lonely time of year. It's a grieving time of year. And I just want you to just hear these verses. There's no more grief in heaven. There's no more crying in heaven. There's reuniting in heaven, not separation in heaven. Heaven is a place where sorrow has been swallowed up, where pain has been wiped out, where death has been deleted. These former things are gone forever because heaven restores what was lost in the fall. There's perfection again in the garden to walk with God. There's no grief in heaven. There's only the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ. And because of God's perfection there, the curse of sin is broken. So let me put this together for us. The curse of sin in Genesis brought death and grief and separation from God. And they couldn't keep the Old Testament law throughout the Old Testament to be perfect. And they had to look towards a Savior. We look back to a Savior. Jesus came on planet Earth, and that beautiful baby boy prophesied from days of old, born of a virgin, laid in that manger of swaddling clothes to be our Passover lamb. Lived a sinless life so that he could die on the cross, rise again from the dead, and then we could put our faith and trust in him, and that faith and trust in him could take us into heaven where there's perfection. Wow! That's a heavenly Christmas. That's not ornaments only. That's not just candy only. That's not just a song only. That's not just candlelight services only. And we love all those things. That is the end of the essence of sin, which takes away and ends the effects of sin so that we walk in a place of holiness. So I tell you this, heavenly products are one thing, but are you going to heaven? Do you know Jesus is your Savior? And if you are going to heaven, I've got good news for your lonely heart. You're going to see your loved ones again. You're going to walk with God. All this stuff is going to be taken care of. And all the struggling and all the grief is going to be washed away in the presence of God for all of eternity. Do you see how the manger and heaven connect and why it's so important that we keep our eyes on that? We got to see it from the space station, guys, or we're just going to see the chaos of the mall and miss it and just try to put on a good smile. Everything's great. Everything's not great in everybody's hearts. The National Alliance on Mental Health said that approximately 66% of individuals report feeling lonely during the holiday season. Older adults, they did a study, different study. Loneliness was particularly prevalent among older adults, with 52% saying that Christmas is the loneliest time of the year. 17%, those over age 60, said that last year they experienced days of complete isolation in the holidays. Those over 60 revealed that 10% of them don't expect to talk to anyone during Christmas. 82% would say yes to being a part of a wonderful fellowship, but only 2% of us are inviting. And I just tell you that, it convicts my own heart. I tell you that to say this, there are so many people hurting. Here's what I want your homework to be. Make some phone calls over this Christmas time. You can text, sure. You can shoot an email, great. But there's nothing better than just getting on the phone and calling. I asked my assistant this past week, I said, or 2 weeks ago, I said, would you give me the phone numbers, the spouse or the parent or the kid, whatever it was, the closest relative to the all of the funerals that I've preached at this year. And I've just been calling people and just saying, hey, I know Christmas is coming and I want you to know I love you and I know this is going to be a hard Christmas for you. And I just want you to know the church cares for you. We're praying for you. We're behind you. We understand. It hurts to be a widow, widower, parent, child, whatever it is. Every single phone call I've had, they said, thank you so much for calling us. Thank you for thinking about us. I'm not doing that because I'm a pastor. I'm doing that because I'm a Christian. And I want to encourage you to reach out to somebody, maybe in a grief situation, or maybe they're elderly, maybe they're alone, whatever, or you know they've gone through some pain in life. And you reach out to them and you just tell them you love them and you care for them. And you'll find that to be probably one of the best phone calls and blessings you had the whole Christmas time. Who's that person? Who do you think about right now? Call them. Tell them. Because we need to understand that we're not at the place of perfection yet. But here's the great and wonderful news. We can invite people to the place of perfection that's coming. We can say there is a heaven. There is somebody named Jesus. There is a Savior. And he can even help you in your grief in the pandemonium of earth. He can help with all that, but he can take you there. And if your loved one knew the Lord, you'll see him again and you'll connect with him again. So reach out, be a part of that. Heaven has God's peace. It has God's presence. It has God's perfection. The manger has God's peace. The manger has God's presence. The manger has God's perfection. And we want to be people that are conduits of all of those things, that connect those things. And not just live with Christmas here, but looking to see Christmas here in the heavenly realms. And say, God, you're the God of the space station as much as you are the God of them all. And I trust you and I want to walk with you and I want you to use me. I want you to do great things through me. Let me close with this last illustration and we're done. I've been praying just in my own heart, just that God would give me opportunity to share my faith more. And now you're like, well, you're the pastor, you share your faith all the time. I know I do, but I'm around Christians all the time too. You know, and so you go to the workplace and there's not a lot of lost people where I work, okay? You know, pretty much all Christians here at the office, all right? I hope, you know. So you can become a church mouse as a pastor, right? And I don't want to do that. So I've just been praying, just God, would you just bring me opportunities? Would you do your work? And so I've been praying for that and taking those opportunities and trying to just let the Lord use me in those things. So just this week, a young man came and knocked on our door, and sometimes this happens in our neighborhood. I'm not sure if it happens in your neighborhood, but somebody will knock on the door and they'll say, hey, we noticed your trees look terrible. Could we cut your trees, you know, or your house? Can we paint your house? You know, they're trying to get business and coming by to tell you all the things that are wrong with your house, you know, is what they're doing. So it's very discouraging, but that's how you sell things, you know. So this young man comes up, and so he's got something he's wanting to do. And so I'm like, I'm kind of always a little perturbed, but I try to be nice when that's happening. And so then I finally said, well, okay, give me a price. So he gives me a price. We worked it out. And so he's going to do some work. And so he does some work and he's got his crew that's going to do some work. He's a young guy, just graduated from high school and nice guy, really great guy, good guy. I was like, man, you're going to do great in this world. You just keep it up, man. And so, he does his thing. And so, I pay him. And so then he says, well, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a pastor. And that's either at that point, I go, awesome. Merry Christmas. See you later. Bye. You know, it's either shut down or turn off. One of the other things is going to happen, right? So I know I've lived this a long time. So I say, I'm a pastor and I'm waiting for either that or bah humbug or whatever. And he says, oh man, that's great. Thanks for all the ways you serve the community and stuff. I said, man, I appreciate that a lot. I said, do you have a relationship with God? Do you have a faith? Do you go to church anywhere? He said, no, I'm really not doing very good in my relationship with God. I said, well, you came to the right garage now, brother. I didn't say that. What I actually praised, Lord, give me wisdom. Help me, God. And I said, because, you know, my personality has a tendency, I'm a professional talker, to just then start talking too much, right? So I got, you know, there's a lot of us in this room like this. We talk too much. We just got to learn to be quiet and let other people talk and ask questions and not just talk, 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 talk. So that's me. So he says, well, you know, I just don't have a good relationship with God. And so I, instead of just jumping in with it, I said, well, tell me more about that. What do you mean by that? And he said, well, there's just something missing. There's just something missing. Get real anxious about stuff, and I get real worried about stuff, and I'm always thinking. I'm always in my mind thinking, and I just think about there's just something missing. I said, well, you know what I think it might be? He said, what? And I said, it might be a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. When I was 16, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior and for him to come into my heart, forgive me my sins, to live inside my heart, to be inside me. And I found that that was the missing piece. I felt something was missing too. And I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my life and to forgive my sins. I said, so that might be that for you, that you need to pray and ask Jesus to forgive your sins this Christmas and ask him to come into your heart and to be your Savior, wash you clean and live inside your heart. And that'd be the connection you have with God through Jesus Christ. And he listened. And then I thought, oh, I'm just going to go for it. I don't know what's going to happen. I said, would you like to pray and receive Christ as your Savior? This just standing in my garage. We're just standing in the garage. And I'm waiting. You know, I mean, it's either going north or south. You know, I mean, what's going to happen here? And he goes, let's do it. Put his hand out. Is that awesome? Let's cheer for that. So I grabbed his hand. And so I'm there and we're shaking hands, you know, kind of a handshake thing. And he bows his head. And I said, I'm just going to lead you. You got to mean it from your heart. Why don't you pray with me? And I just would pray and just say, Jesus, I know that I've sinned. And he said out loud right there in my garage, Jesus, I know that I've sinned. I ask you to be my Savior. I ask you to be my Savior. I want you to wash me clean, forgive me my sin. Wash me clean, forgive me my sins. We went through that. I want you to in your grace, I place my trust in you. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So he prays and asks for the forgiveness of sin. That's how you do it. If you want to go to heaven, that's it. And Jesus came into his life in my garage, all the crummy, dirty places we should have cleaned out for that. And I said, well, you know, we had talked before, and he was from a different part of town, wasn't close to any of our campuses, but I had a friend that was from that part of town. I said, could I connect you with my friend? He's a good man. Yeah. And those two have gotten connected, and they're connected. And so hopefully my buddy is in church today somewhere in that part of our city. I don't know. But that connection is there. I was praying that I could be a conduit of peace. And God brought somebody to my door. I didn't have to go anywhere. I just had to take the opportunity to see that the manger was connected with heaven. And I get to be in the middle and share this great, wonderful story. How could God use you this Christmas to speak about heaven? He wants to. He's brought peace. He's brought his presence. And he will one day bring perfection. So we can see it from the space station and we can see it from our very seats. Jesus Christ came to die on a cross and rise again to take us to heaven. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We're not looking for just products with heavenly written on it. We're looking for a heart with heavenly written on it. And we want to live out what you've put in, Father. We want to say no to the essence of sin, not just the effects of sin. We're not worried about just being caught. We're worried about defaming your name and going against your will. And so we pray, God, that you, Lord, would be so honored in our lives. We'd fast for it. We'd pray for it. We'd walk with you for it. We'd read our Bibles about it. We'd come to church, we'd invite friends, we'd be active in sharing our faith. And Lord, we pray that we would connect Christmas and heaven, space and earth, Bethlehem and Houston, your hand and our hearts. We love you. We trust you. Take just a moment. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, can we just stand in my garage for a minute? Ask Jesus to forgive your sins. Say, Lord, I ask you to forgive my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Wash me clean with your blood. I place all my faith in you alone for salvation. You are my Savior. If you prayed that, heaven came to your heart. If you already know Christ as Savior, would you just pray and say, Lord, I just want to long for you this Christmas. I want to see heaven this Christmas. I want you to use me this Christmas. Get my eyes up off the bows and wrappers and plans and food and all those fun things. Let me see a view from space. A heavenly Christmas. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.